Let's just not start off in a negative mood, I tell you.
I know this guy from somewhere.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin.
Morning, Jay. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jay.
Love your show, Jay. It's really great to listen to you.
And I appreciate what you do on the radio.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning. This is Aaron Hart filling in for Jay Marvin. And I want to take care of some old business before I jump into our new topic with Jamal Rahman. Here it is. Ellen, I love talk radio. And part of the reason I love talk radio is because you can be talking about something and someone will be an expert in the audience and write you almost immediately and clear up something. So those of you who are worried about the birth certificate, and we'll talk about that a little later, too, because I didn't know that the Electoral College electors have been getting certified letters from Philip Berg Loon, but who's trying to convince people that Barack Obama was not born in the United States. You know, and I had noticed this too, Elaine, so I'm glad you wrote. Aaron, the images of Obama's birth certificate on factcheck.org is not blacked out. I was also born in Honolulu, and my birth certificate looks exactly the same. Just because there is a request for a writ of certiorari does not mean that this case will be heard in the Supreme Court. Only about 5% of all requests are granted and heard by the Supreme Court. These are cases that are seriously review the legal system or the interpretation of the Constitution, such as Gore v. Bush or Brown versus the Board of Education, etc. An issue about paperwork has been fully vetted as not reviewed by the Supreme Court. You can't simply elevate a case to the Supreme Court because you disagree with the outcome of the lower court. You have to show that legal precedence was applied incorrectly. And you cannot appeal a case due to new facts, which is what this group is hoping to accomplish. And that's from Elaine in Castle Rock. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you very much. And she also was born in Honolulu, and her birth certificate looks the same. And when I looked at it, I have a vague memory of what mine looked like before it was destroyed, and mine kind of looked like that too, although it wasn't from Hawaii. All right. Jamal Rahman is a new citizen of the United States. He is a Muslim Sufi minister. He's originally from Bangladesh. He is the co-minister at Interfaith Community Church in Seattle, Washington, and he also is co-host of Interfaith Talk Radio, and he's on the adjunct faculty of Seattle University. And he joins us this morning at my request. Thank you, Jamal, for joining us.
Oh, glad to be here, Erin. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. He was one of my favorite guests when I did a regular show up here.
Thank you.
And, well, yes, because you are so good at enlightening people as to Islam and to showing people why things work the way they do and why things are the way they are. I think one of the things that bothered me about yesterday's show, Jamal, just so that you know, because I'm sure you've been on your holiday weekend and haven't listened to the podcast, which wasn't up anyway in time. But I just wanted to ask you about this. A couple of callers yesterday, in light of the crisis in Mumbai and the attacks in Mumbai, were saying things like, see, this is the problem. We're going to have to go after Islam. Islam's bad. Islam encourages people to do this. Islam is the evil. And whenever that starts, Jamal, I just want to nip it in the bud.
Yes, yes. You know, we can refer to Gandhi, who would say in India, and he knew so much about how to create harmony between different religions in a multi-religious society. He would say, if a religious extremist commits violence, he says, I beg you, please do not criticize that person's religion. Rather, point out to this person verses and insights of beauty from this person's own religion. Help this person to become a better Muslim, a Christian, Jew, or Hindu. He says, that is the way to peace.
Now, there's a novel idea. I usually try to argue, but this is why I have guests like you on.
You're kind.
But I think one of the things that that I worry about is the image of this is all Islam's fault because of those, you know, because of the jihad, the misapplication of what jihad really means,
yes,
one,
yes.
And two, you know, that they believe if you know, they try to say, well, they believe that if we're not them, they're going to destroy us. And I said, that is not the case.
Right.
But you see, because I'm not a practitioner, he says, well, I'm not going to believe you. It's true. And I'm like, well, you know, I really think you're off base here.
Yeah,
now,
you know, the problem is that none of us follow our religion. That is a major problem with people from every tradition. I mean, if, for example, somebody followed the principles of Christianity, love your enemy, or if they follow the principles of Islam, repel evil with something which is better, so your enemy becomes your bosom friend, we would not be in this mess. The trouble is we just use religion to justify our own actions.
And there are a small sect of terrorists who do misapply dogma and doctrine in order to try to achieve their goals. But I was telling him, I said, Christians have done this in the past. Jews have done this too. I mean, it's not like every group is exempt for people who misinterpret the tenets of their faith in order to accomplish violence.
Yes, you know, again, it's a question of knowing that you can use any verse from any religion to justify anything.
Pretty much.
It all depends on your intention and your interpretation.
So how, in terms of understanding each other better, when something like Mumbai happens, and there are terrible deaths now, you know, over 140 something, and you know, we had the Chabad-Lubavitch attacked. We had two major hotels attacked, and people's, I guess, specifically going after people with U.S. passports. We have the tensions. You're from Bangladesh. We have the tensions between India and Pakistan now. The Prime Minister of India sort of indirectly saying, well, this is Pakistan. Pakistan's leader saying, no, my wife was slaughtered by terrorists. Highly unlikely I'm sending you my intelligence chief, which strikes fear in the hearts of many people, the intelligence group in Pakistan,
yes,
I mean.
Yes,
so
yes.
How do we work through this? How, when one group, you know, claiming a certain religious belief strives to destroy another group of people, how does that main group of people, what is the best way for them to respond? I know you gave us the wise words of Gandhi.
Yes,
but how do average people who maybe to whom, like me, for example, who might not immediately think of Gandhi, although I might eventually, how do we deal with it? How do we combat the worst angels of our nature?
Well, first of all, you know, every single human being, regardless of one's religion or political orientation, you know, will condemn this absolutely tragic and criminal act. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. But having said that, having done that, I think it behooves each one of us to go a little deeper into that. Why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And unless we, you know, touch that, then really it'll be a cosmetic solution. Now, the Quran says, for example, I mean, no, if you go back to religion, every religion has beautiful verses. The Quran says, you know, when these things are happening, when there is chronic anger, hatred, helplessness, hopelessness, the Quran says it's not that the eyes become blind, the hearts have become blind. Doesn't matter what your religion is. And when that happens, force does not help. Reason goes only so far. The Quran says only compassion from the heart can really create a shift in the other heart. So we have to find out why these things are happening. That is, I think, most important step.
And I heard Deepak Chopra speak, you know, philosopher, writer, and from India, speak yesterday about, you've got to think about how people who are oppressed think as well. You have to think about the Kashmir situation. I mean, we're not entirely sure exactly what caused the people to perpetrate violence in Mumbai. But, you know, he spoke in a historical sense to talk about, you know, the preponderance of Hindu versus the minority of Muslim in India, and how, you know, who are by any objective lights are oppressed often. And so you have to look at the larger causes of things and try to stand back and see the big picture, not to excuse it. As you say,
absolutely,
we all roundly condemn this and we all find it horrifying, and it's not the way to go about accomplishing change, certainly. But I think one of the things we have to remember, don't we, is what the situation is in the big picture.
Yes, sorry.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, to realize that beyond religion, you know, beyond one's culture, these situations is not about religion. It is about, you know, a political problem, you know, that arouses a lot of passions. And, you know, it really, it darkens us so that we do things we normally don't do. But what is it? But what Deepak Chopra is saying, I think, is that what also every tradition says, that everybody has wounds. So you see, for example, the Buddhists really have it very beautifully correct. When 9/11 happened, they said, of course, we must condemn it, we must take every action to prevent this from happening again. But we must also realize that those we call terrorists, they also have wounds. And unless we understand that, we can never really cause a structural change.
And again, or interdict the causes for people, the violence to begin with. Because the best way, in my opinion, to soften the desire for terrorism is to make sure people are happy and centered and fulfilled and have jobs and have justice and have, you know, all the lovely things that we all talk about and often don't try perhaps hard enough to do, although you're probably ahead of the game in terms of that. But I really think that part of what goes on, it's an opportunity to talk about this. Now, Mumbai, I think, is this a different kind of attack in your mind? Because to me it seemed different because it was so well coordinated and it was so low tech and yet so terrifying.
You see, yes, it is certainly very well organized. And I think what is troubling is the more we ignore the core problems, the more they become motivated to become more organized, to become more dramatic, and the more we demonize people like that, then, you know, the more the violence will increase. The belief that, you know, there are a certain group of people, we only have to isolate them, destroy them, and the problem will be over, that is absolutely an illusion. You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the famous Western Russian dissident, you know, who died recently, very popular in the West, he had this very wonderful insight. He said, you know, if only it was so simple that there are some people out there, evil people out there, and all we have to do is to isolate them and destroy them, the problem will be over. He says, you know, the line dividing good and evil runs through every single human heart. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his or her own heart? So that idea of isolating and destroying a group of people by demonizing them, and that will take care of the problem, that is false.
Yeah, I think it's false, too. So what would be your prescription? I want you to think about what your prescription would be, and I also have to go to a break. So I'm going to go to a break, and then we've been having a rather silly topic today, too, and I want to give you a little time to think about this, too.
Okay.
Did you listen? I don't know. There's a judge in Fort Lupton who sentences
I couldn't hear you.
There's a judge. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
There's a judge in Fort Lupton in a town in Colorado who's been sentencing people who listen to play music too loudly or have loud parties. He's been sentencing them to listen to songs they can't stand. So one thing I'm going to ask you is what song, if you get some, or do you love all music, or do you get a song in your heart that you don't particularly like? Like mine, for example, is anything by Barry Manilow. Probably drives me up a wall. But if you'd prefer not to talk about that, that's fine,
I'd be happy to.
I just thought you might like to join us a bit, too.
Sure,
All right, certainly. Thank you. Thank you, Jamal Rahman. And if you'd like to talk to Jamal, now's your chance to jump on the phones, 303-713-7600. If you have any questions about Islam, if you have any questions about how we perpetrate peace instead of violence, give us a call, AM760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. It's time for Progressive Traffic. And Tard Parker coming up right now on The J. Marvin Show. It is 19 past the hour.
Lord Almighty, I feel my temperature rise.
Thanks and no thanks, Mike. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. We're doing Bad Song Friday this today in honor of the judge in Fort Lupton who's sentencing people to listen to songs they do not like. I do not like Elvis. Isn't that a bad admission to make? Jamal Rahman is a Muslim Sufi minister. He's our guest today. He's a member of the interfaith community here in Seattle. He is a co-minister at Interfaith Community Church in Seattle and a co-host of Interfaith Talk Radio. And I have to confess, I do not like Elvis, Jamal.
You know, of course, I'm not very familiar with Western music. I don't like the loud. I think metal music, you call it, is very loud.
Okay, metal music. Yes, and we had another caller this morning who doesn't like metal music at all. Does not like it. So we're unlikely to play any AC/DC in your ear. How's that?
Oh.
Jamal, one thing I was going to ask you when I talked to you about what's your prescription for the world in terms of how we break free of these things. Because, I mean, we've got a lot of issues that are very tense right now. We've got the economy in a mess, too.
Yes.
So if you were going to advise our newly to be minted Secretary of State, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and I think that's probably a safe bet, that she will be our Secretary of State. But whoever takes the position, and our new President, Barack Obama, where would you tell them to concentrate, and how would you tell them to handle these sticky issues in terms
of
this?
As a Muslim,
yes,
for me, for my limited personal experience, to me, the most important area to take care of to combat Islamic terrorism is to truly take care of the Palestinian-Israeli issue.
Okay.
That, for me, has very high priority. If that changes, I feel that will create tremendous momentum of goodwill in the Muslim world.
You know, I think it will, too. And I think there's some moves being made both on the Israeli side and on the Palestinian side to change a few things. Not perhaps Hamas on board, but the Palestinian Authority seems to be making some changes. And there's some police changes that are being made in the West Bank that I think are positive. And there'll be a change in who is running Israel, of course.
Yes.
But I was wondering, in terms of that, what kind of wisdom would you impart to... Because do you think Hillary Rodham Clinton would be a good choice? Because I've always thought she'd make a fabulous Secretary of State, but I may not be accurate in that. I just have an instinct that she'd be good at talking to both sides.
I think she would, because, you know, her husband, you know, I include her husband here, is quite popular in the Muslim world, and the people there believe that he really was sincere about working for a just solution.
Yes.
So she has that, you might say, that reputation. And I think if she makes the right moves and does not fall in the trap of, you know, what Muslims consider that at least in the 8 years, that the Secretary of State, or president, is totally biased towards Israel. If one goes beyond that, then there's a chance.
Well, now, do you think, how did you feel, too? I've wanted to ask you this since it's been happening, actually, as you probably can guess, knowing me a little, that you know I supported Barack Obama during the election.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
And one of the things that pains me, the birth certificate controversy, by the way, is still going on and still, But one thing that that always concerned me, I've just read his book, Dreams of My Father, and what a wonderful book that is. I have not had a chance to read your Blush of the Beloved yet, the Course in Spiritual Deepening that you wrote, or you co-wrote. But one of the things I want to know is, how did it feel as a newly minted U.S. citizen to watch so much bigotry fly around, at least the airwaves, about the possibility that Barack Obama could be Muslim?
Yes.
And then, of course, he actually is Christian, but still, Barack Obama's family is Muslim. And all of this attempt to drum up bigotry that apparently didn't work very well at all, given the Electoral College and the vote.
Yes. You know, this is the core of the problem, that that Islam and terrorism is equated as the same.
Yes.
And this is probably the core reason why it is being said, and I believe it, we're not winning the war on terrorism. Because most Muslims believe, and this is actually the result of a Gallup poll that was done over 6 years in Muslim countries, most Muslims believe that the war on terror is a war on Islam. Mm. So, rightly or wrong, this is a perception. And so in America, the perception is Muslim, well, you know, it's not, something is not right there. You're going to be a terrorist. And so you cannot be president. So that misunderstanding or that lack of trust between these peoples, that has to be overcome.
Right.
But of course, you know, Barack Obama is very popular in Muslim countries, no doubt, because two thirds of his name is Muslim. You see,
yes,
even the word Barak, it comes from the Arabic word Baraka, which means a blessing. It's a Quranic word, actually.
Yes,
and of course, Hussein is a Muslim name. So Muslims are very actually excited about him being president. There's a lot of goodwill right now.
Well, I think so too, and I know there's a lot of goodwill in the United States, at least among the people that I'm happy with. So. We'll hope for the best. Do you think this is the most hopeful it's been in recent years, or do you need more proof of the pudding?
Oh, no, my goodness. I mean, myself, my fellow Muslims, I know I'm in touch with Muslims in Muslim countries. They are excited. They cannot believe that this is the climate of change that has come upon us and will, God willing, prevail and abide. If this is the situation, it looks very good.
Well, one of the many reasons why I love my country is because now and again we just band together and we do the right thing. You know, I just
absolutely.
I really, absolutely.
I'm a new U.S. citizen. My first time I voted, I was, and I must tell you, honestly, the first time I was so proud to be an American.
Oh, that's so
and the whole world salutes America for having elected Barack Obama.
I know. I just think it's, I can't, every day I wake up and pinch myself and say, we have a new president and he's Barack Obama and I am so glad, you know, we have a chance for a new life and a new way of being in the world because
I think
we need it so much now and there's so much misunderstanding out there. I deeply appreciate you coming on the show on a holiday weekend, Jamal Rahman. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm delighted to be
us.
Here, and I'm honored to be here. I always have loved your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. And have a lovely holiday. Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum to you.
Okay. Thank you. Peace be with you. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. We'll be right back with more bad songs. We're going to have the rabbi on a little bit later. It's, you know, I have to weave in God here and now and again because it permeates so much of our real world. We're going to also talk a little more maybe about the birth certificate, if that's still possessing you. The Mumbai attacks, we'll update them. We're going to also talk about issues and problems that Barack Obama faces. What order would you, we might not be together until maybe around the holidays, who knows? When I'll next talk to you, hopefully sooner than that. But I would love to talk to you about whatever's on your mind because it is Open Topic Friday. So it's 303-713-7600. This is the Aaron Hart version of the J. Marvin Show right here on Colorado's Progressive Talk, AM 760. I'd love to talk to you about your thoughts about what's going on in our world today. Coming right up on Colorado's Progressive Talk. Join us and stand by in the meantime for Progressive Traffic with Todd Parker. If you get a chance, do watch that CNN Heroes show. I usually hate watching those things because they usually are kind of dull. But Christina Aguilera sang a song, and you know, it's a tribute to women around the world. Was sung by Alicia Keys, Superwoman. As I Am was also sung, and Aguilera performed her hit single, Beautiful. You know, Aguilera gets better and better and better, and Alicia Keys has always been and is fabulous. I've always liked Christina Aguilera, too, and John Legend sang with the Agape Choir, If You're Out There, that song that he sang for Barack Obama. Now, I don't think we've done enough. Barack Obama is president of the United States. Woohoo! I mean, it is so great. He's the president-elect of the United States of America. But there is trouble. Our lovely callers, Julie in Westminster, I think, let us know that, is it really true? Was it Julie? I think it was Julie. That said that he is actually trying to do things like they're sending certified letters to the Electoral College members to say, don't vote for this man. He's not a citizen. That is so psycho. That is just so psycho. Because for one thing, the birth certificate has been vetted by the state. Let's see. You know, and as a matter of fact, I think we got the state I'm from to write. I don't know. 303. I was technically born in another state, but I moved to Colorado when I was like, I don't know, less than a year old. So I'm really a Colorado native. I'm descended from Colorado natives. I like to think of myself as near native anyway. 303-713-7600. Everyone else in my family is a native, pretty much. My immediate family anyway. 303-713-7600. Now, I have to give you an update about the sad news too. And I can't go back to Fox. They'll make me sick. So the thing is, Indian forces are still battling pockets of militants. They are still suspicious of Pakistan's involvement in these attacks, although there are people who are saying that, experts who are saying, or certainly hypothesizing is a good word to use, hypothesizing that this could be homegrown India attack. Normally, India's Muslims do not attack this way, but people are speculating that that may be the case now. Don't know. We don't know if they had foreign help. We do not know that at this point. U.S. officials, including Barack Obama, have roundly condemned the attack. Israeli diplomats are now saying the five hostages killed were killed at the Chabad Center in Mumbai. It may have included a rabbi from Brooklyn, a Lubavitcher. So we will see if that proves to be true as those bodies are identified. He and his wife, apparently their baby son, Moshe, may have gotten out. He was seen leaving with his Indian caretaker early in the battle, and he was his little pants were covered in blood. So I am not sure. That is the last I heard about it. Maybe you know something new. I'm surfing the headlines to see what else I can bring you about that. It's 303-713-7600. I'd also like to talk to you about what area, we've talked a lot about the economy, and we haven't talked about the bailout yet. Bailouts, plural. You know, I don't see what choice we have in some ways. What are you going to do? Let them all sink and tank? Are you going to really let the U.S. automakers go down the tubes? I mean, I don't know. Here's what pledge I've made of myself. Whatever one survives, if all of them survive, one of them, I'm going to at least test drive them. I'm going to give them another chance. My car is about 11 years old. I'm going to make it last as long as it can because it's only got 60,000 miles on it. But let's say I get a new great gig and lots of dough and feel like buying something. I'll probably buy a hybrid. And I don't have a lot of choice with the American cars. I don't have as much choice as I do, say, if I survey around Japanese cars. By the way, luxury cars, I read last night, the sales of them are down 30%. Me personally, I'm glad to see SUVs getting bumped off the list of cars to buy. I always thought they were stupid, gas hog, horrifying, dumb cars driven by people who felt the need to be in a tank because they're not very good drivers. That's how I feel, okay? You want me to lie and pretend I really don't have a dim view of SUVs? I can't. I don't think they're safe. I don't like them. I don't like driving them. You know, they're okay to sit in and listen to tunes, but I don't lust after those. I want a hybrid. That's what I want. I want the most energy efficient kind of car. And if I bought, say, if I decided to go live around the country or something, and I don't know what I would, I don't know. They even are trying to make RVs now that are ecologically better. So good for them. 303-713-7600. Sad to know Al Franken's campaign up in Minnesota apparently has been dealt a blow today. This is from Wednesday's scorecard. They apparently rejected the absentee ballots. Ooh, that's kind of old news, I guess, but ooh. I definitely want Saxby Chambliss, that creep who went after Max Cleland and got his seat in Georgia. I really want him to go down the tank. And I want Jim Martin to win. I really do. I want 60 votes in the U.S. Senate. And normally I like a little bit of mix-up in Washington, but we have had so much hell to pay since Ronald Reagan came into office and basically said, hate your government, it never helps you. And this is ridiculous, you know? It is not true. I think that's why his son says it's not true. It's not true. The government can help us. For example, if the levees had been built solidly, New Orleans wouldn't have drowned. If the Minnesota Bridge had been built correctly, it would not have collapsed and killed those people. If our crumbling infrastructure, and we need it, boy, do we need it up here. I mean, Colorado has been fairly smart about that. You know, say what you like. I don't like Bill Owens much, but, you know, Bill Owens did at least let some projects proceed in terms of light rail and the revamping of I-5, and good for him. Because if we hadn't done that, we'd be sitting much less pretty in Denver. And Denver, as cities go, as far as I can see, has, you know, a better situation than many in terms of that. And that's because we had progressive mayors, too, like Wellington Webb, like Federico Peña. You know, we had some good mayors who made some very, very, very smart decisions. So can government make a difference? Absolutely. Now, the other thing I have to tell you, because I'm a lifelong off and on resident of Colorado, do we really want Olympics in 2018? Aren't we the people who turned it down? Would you take the Olympics back? Now, Dolph, a lot depends on whether Chicago gets it in 2016. Chicago's apparently looking at it. The Summer Games. Now, I think because we have President Barack Obama, the Chicago Games are a gimme. But I could be wrong. 303-713-7600. Maybe it depends on what kind of job he does. But they said it so far ahead of time, they won't really know what kind of a job he's doing necessarily. So it's 303-713-7600. And we can also reprise our terrible song interview. And here's why I want to do that. A, because it's Shopping Friday. We had a great tale. We've only had one tale from people shopping today, fighting over what was it, a Barbie Jeep? I can relate. I played with Barbies when I was little. I used to have a whole, like a little town of Barbie dolls, and I would like make up plays. That's what I did. I wrote little plays, and I staged them, and I dressed them up, and I made costumes, and did all this stuff, and you know, talked, and I could play for hours making up stories with my Barbies. You know, it was fun, and maybe it was foreshadow of becoming a journalist and a performer. Maybe it was, you know, foreshadow. By the way, I got to meet Frank Rich the other day, the New York Times columnist, and I have to say, what a nice man, very gentlemanly, very, very funny, too, in terms of talking about politics. So, it is Open Topic Friday. We may talk about anything you like. If you're fighting and elbowing your way into the malls to shop until you drop. See, I don't really, you know, what do I need? I need a new, my sister wrote me, said, what do you need? And I went, I'd like an apron, and I'd like, I told her, and I'm not being facetious. I said, I'd like you to buy me some bonds. She said, what? I said, buy me a couple of bonds. You know, they're reasonable. Because I, you know, I'm looking at my portfolio. I don't know about you, but I finally looked at my 401k and went, ah, and shut it. I just went, okay, that's enough. Don't want to look anymore. The last time it was this bad was 2000. No. And mine is not as bad as some people's. So I just, you know, I think we all have to take a deep breath. But I'm in it for the long haul. I believe in the United States of America. I think we're going to get better. We have a new president. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you can relate, but here's what I feel like. And have you seen the movie Paper Moon? With Tatum O'Neill and her father, you know, she plays, it's a Depression-era movie. And she keeps saying, Frank D. Roosevelt says that everything's going to get better. That's kind of how I feel. And Barack Obama says everything's going to get better. We're going to have a chicken in every pot. We're going to have, Frank D. Roosevelt says we have to believe in our country. Well, Barack Obama says we have to believe in our country. Barack Obama says it's not red states, we're not blue states, this is about the United States of America. I believe him. I heard the 2004 speech and said, how fast can I vote for this guy? I mean, I didn't seriously consider moving to Illinois, but you know what? I'm so glad I had a national chance to vote for him. I actually became a delegate. I did. I was so happy he became our nominee. I can't tell you. And then now that he's actually, I still feel like I have to pinch myself. But believe you me, these right-wing pinheads, these crazy wing nuts, I know, and see, here I go. I said I was going to have to learn to love them. All right, let me see if I can rephrase this. Let me see. Let me back up my brain. All right. These, and I think this guy is a Democrat, by the way, not to totally malign people, but these people like Philip Berg and others who are so misguided and ignorant of the law and so sad to have lost. We have to help them. They need some help. They, you know, the right-wing Republicans have fallen on some hard times, man. They have, you know, we're going to talk to the rabbi about this article that Kathleen Parker, even their own columnists are turning against them. I don't know if you caught Kathleen Parker in the Washington Post. She's my new favorite. Here I can be positive. My new favorite conservative columnist. Is it Billy Crystal? No, not ever. But is it Kathleen Parker? Kind of sure. She says, as Republicans sort out the reasons for their defeat, they will likely overlook or dismiss the gorilla in the pulpit. Three little letters, one big problem, G-O-D. I'm bathing in holy water as I type, she writes. To be more specific, the evangelical right-wing oogity-boogity branch of the GOP is what ails the erstwhile conservative party and will continue to afflict and marginalized its constituents if reckoning doesn't soon cometh. Simply put, she writes, arm band religion is killing the Republican Party. And truth, as long as we're setting ourselves free, is that if one were to eavesdrop on private conversations among the party intelligentsia, one would hear precisely that. Now, shades of my Uncle Lou, who said this to me back when Reagan was running, said, you know, if the right-wing crazies, evangelicals, take over this party, we're going to lose time and time and time again. Heck, you're even losing in the South. And the reason that you're losing is because you just really can't get by on preaching hate and dissonance over and over again. Sooner or later, Charlie Brown is going to figure out that you're Lucy with the football. They're going to figure it out. They're going to figure out, oh, you fooled us again. You're trying to make us fall down again. No, we're not falling for it. You're not going to scare and terrorize us. The other, I would agree with Kathleen Parker. I disagree with her on this point. I don't think it's only G-O-D. I think it is the GOP has gotten to be the grand old poobah. In other words, we're cool. We know everything. We don't want to spend money. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to be smart. We don't want to think about this. We don't want to, you know, it's crazy. This is nuts. They have no ideas left. All they can do, you listen to them, all of them, Nudie, all of them are going, tax cuts, tax cuts. We need tax cuts. We need tax cuts, tax cuts. And we need to cut government and drown it in the bathtub. That's Grover Norquist's favorite line. You know, no, I'm sorry, different day. You have wrecked our bridges. You've destroyed our roads. We don't have a viable passenger-driven rail program in this country. And I will renew my invitation to Amtrak. If you welcome dog lovers, you will get so much more business, your head will spin. And my dog, Pedro, will happily ride with Great Danes as well as, let me think of a dog that I, actually there are really no dogs I don't like. But we'd ride with Sharpays, we'd ride with anybody. So just go with it, okay? Just do it. Because we need an infrastructure in this country. I'm sort of like Rachel Maddow. I hear the word infrastructure and I get a frisson of delight. Brian in Boulder, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning. I was it was refreshing to hear you mention Philip Berg because I don't get around the web a lot. I look a little bit, but I've only heard the right wing saying blah, blah, blah. So what's your take on all that stuff?
I think it's the tempest in the teapot. I think unfortunately this is the swift boat nonsense. As they tried to malign Kerry's record. The problem is the Hawaii state. I just got a letter from Elaine in Castle Rock who says I'm from Hawaii. My birth certificate looks exactly like his. If you go to factcheck.org, who are not easily bamboozled, these are veteran reporters who are extremely good at their job. And much more balanced than, say, I am. I'm biased towards the left, and I make no bones about it. But even if I weren't, I still love to tell the truth. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine today who said that right-wing hosts can be amusing. And I said, you know, I don't find them funny because I think there has to be a grain of truth when you make fun of something. You know what I mean? So I don't often find them funny. I do find this kind of funny because it's ridiculous. It's insanity.
Well, what I'd like to ask is,
yeah,
what... You know, if in fact he's born, you know, out of the country, and then what are the laws about a U.S. citizen, i.e. his mother, having a child outside of the country?
Well, he did. First of all, the point is really his mother was a U.S. citizen and she had the child. I don't know whether you have to have both parents being U.S. citizens in order to be counted as a citizen. You know, or whether it's like Judaism and your mother can only do it. I don't know. But the point is moot. His birth was announced in the Hawaii papers. His birth certificate is real. Hawaii was already a state. All of the reasons that they have tried to ooga booga, ooga booga, ooga booga is exactly that. Ooga booga, ooga booga, ooga booga.
Well, let's look at it rationally. I voted for the guy. I'm maybe left of you.
It's stupid. It's wrong. How about that?
That's not laying out why it's stupid or why it's wrong.
Factually, the Hawaii government has sworn that it is a factual and true copy. The woman in Hawaii who runs the department that is in charge of birth certificate has taken a look at it and sworn it is a true copy. Barack Obama has it up on his website and has sworn it is a true copy. What else do you want?
Well, is it... They use a thing about it's a live birth, but it doesn't say what hospital he's in, all this stuff.
Oh,
you know,
please.
I'd like to counter all that stuff.
Well, you know what? Then you know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what my birth certificate said, but I don't remember it saying what hospital I was born in. I happen to know what hospital I was born in.
Actually,
so
mine does. I was born in Iowa, and it tells me what hospital
I was
born in.
Well, some birth certificates may not. I don't remember what mine said. It's not from any of those states. Mine's been destroyed, and I'm still a U.S. citizen, and I hold a U.S. passport. You know, so there's no problem as far as I'm concerned. I think it's a tempest in a teapot being created by crazed white ringers, Brian. I really do. I'm honestly telling you the truth.
I hear the break music, so I want to thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Brian.
Okay.
I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm happy to scare up more facts, but people don't want to believe facts. Well, but what if? Okay, let me just take it the other way around. Why would the Hawaii papers announce it? Why would anyone in the Hawaii state government lie for Barack Obama? Why would they have started to run in the first place? How could he have run for U.S. Senate? You know, these things are just too stupid to talk about. But right-wingers love to talk about stuff too stupid to talk about. I like to think we're progressives and we're smarter than that. 303-713-7600. Not to insult you, Brian, because I know we've been down this road before. It's sort of like on election night, we kept getting calls from the East Coast. Are you sure California is going to go for Barack Obama? We're like, yes, 55 votes. But I understand, because we've been cheated out of the presidency so many times, it's natural to be a bit worried. But I really think you can trust me on this one. This is nonsense. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm way overdue for Todd Parker and the Progressive Traffic. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Thank you for joining us. I just looked at the birth certificate, and no, it doesn't say what hospital it is, but I don't think mine did. I don't remember exactly, and I can't pull it out and show it to you because mine was destroyed. I still have a passport, though, and I'm still a United States citizen. His mother's name is Stanley Ann Dunham. It is spelled correctly. Barack Hussein Obama is his father. That's spelled correctly. And here's the reason I think all of this is bunk. And I'll just tell you why quickly. I've read Barack Obama's books. And if that man made all this up, I'll be so, the earth will stand still, to borrow a phrase from a movie. Because it's just, when he talked about going to Kenya the first time, it was the first time he ever went. His mother never went to Kenya, as far as I know, ever. Not ever, much less give birth to him there. That's ridiculous. Yeah, I'm sure his grandmother would have lied. Everybody would have lied for him, right? It's just so crazy. It's so crazy. So the next time you see, go to Barack Obama, mybarackobama.com, fight the smears, birth certificate, go wherever, and just check it out. It is incorrect, wrong, bunk, nonsense, an abomination. It's like the people who tried to claim he was Muslim when he's really a Christian. It's just sad and pathetic. Let it go. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls. Bad Song Friday it is. We'll continue, and we'll be talking to Rabbi Daniel Wiener coming up in the next hour as well. All that and more coming up on the Jay Marvin Show. But first, your bad songs, Black Friday, and we can talk about the birth certificate. I just think it's nonsense, though. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin.